Occasionally, I have done plantrepreneur. And for those of you that don't know that word, it's planty entrepreneurs profiles on this podcast, where I have founders of different plant brands come on to discuss how they started and built their companies. But Plant Friends, I have never gotten to talk with founders of a million-dollar plant brand. Now, you might think that that million-dollar plant brand title is going to make for a shiny episode filled with unrelatable stories about venture capital funding and filled with reasons that we can't turn our passion for plants into profit. But you will find, Plant Friends, through this awe-inspiring interview, just how scrappy, innovative, and inspiring three friends from a small town in Pennsylvania could be, and how against all odds, they were able to create and build a company that has improved so many of our lives and the well-being of their community. Soltech, the creators of the grow lights that we know and love, the founders of Soltech being my dear plant friends, Chris, Mike, and Paul. There is so much to the story behind how these sleek, modern grow lights that we all know and love were created, and I promise you will leave this episode so inspired and, for lack of a better plant pun, illuminated. Welcome to the Growing Joy podcast, where we not only learn how to care for plants successfully, but how to simply and affordably use our plant babies to cultivate more joy in our lives. I'm Maria, author of Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Cultivating Happiness, speaker, podcaster, and most importantly, an epic plant killer turned happy plant lady. On Growing Joy, you'll find conversations about plant care, plant community, and wellness through the lens of plants. Plant care is self-care on Growing Joy, the podcast. Plant friends, welcome back to the podcast. I hope you've had beautifully planty weeks. If you are a OG or longtime listener, welcome back. I love you. Thanks for being here. Thanks for choosing to show up every single week to this podcast. It is my delight to be growing alongside you. If you're new here, welcome. I'm Maria, the host of the podcast, and it's my goal in life to help you live happier, calmer lives by connecting with plants and nature. I am so excited to welcome my dear friends onto the podcast, who are also friends of the podcast, the three founders of Soltech, my favorite grow light company, for an in-depth conversation on how these boys built their successful grow light company. You likely know the name Soltech if you've listened to this podcast, as they have been a longtime partner and friend of the show. These guys were one of the first people to believe in me and to believe in the show, and they took a chance on supporting the show. They sponsor the show, so they're actually supporting you as well, because they're helping me create the content, the free content that I am able to produce for you on a weekly basis. They're amazing partners, and I adore them. And I've just quietly, behind the scenes, obviously I'm impressed by their grow lights. I love their grow lights. I have five of their grow lights in my home. But more importantly, these guys are so impressive just as humans. They're such nice people. They've done such incredible things for their community. And they've built an amazing grow light. They have an amazing story. And, you know, I do these plantrepreneur profiles occasionally. I think people are interested in understanding the other side of the plant industry. And their story is just such a worthy story of telling. And I'm so excited that they have joined me. I wrangled all three of them for this episode. We have all three of them calling in so that we can get a really robust idea of what those first days looked like building this company, what the trials and errors and wins and losses were, and how they've built the brand to be this million-dollar, like wildly successful company that has illuminated and alleviated so many of our pain points. You know, grow lights are or were a huge pain point. We talk about this more in the interview, but this was a huge problem for so many of us. We could not find grow lights that looked pretty for our homes, and they really answered that problem before most people. Chris, Mike, and Paul are innovative. They have such integrity. They are down to earth. And I'm just so excited to introduce you to them. I feel lucky that I've known them for so many years. But if you're an entrepreneur, whether you're in the plant space or whether you're just an entrepreneur, you're going to leave this conversation so inspired. If you're a plant lover, you're going to be so fascinated by their journey. And you're going to leave this episode so enriched with a deeper understanding of what it takes to really get a planty product to market, especially a product that requires a lot of science behind it. And also, like, the passion and the commitment that it takes to create and launch and build a successful company in or out of the plant space is just remarkable. And these guys just have it in droves and give so much amazing insight. And plus, you're going to learn as we get to know them, but the story of their friendship is just like the sweetest, most heartwarming thing. I'm so excited to let these guys introduce themselves to you in a minute. But speaking of plant friends, I wanted to welcome three new plant friends to our community, Melanie A., Brooke H., and Karen B. Welcome, friends, to the Growing Joy Garden Society. If you don't know what the Garden Society is, it's my community platform. It's an iOS and Android app. You can also access it via your computer. And I created it. It's an online platform, algorithm-free, troll-free. We have very intense community guidelines. It's a safe space for our community of planty listeners to connect and make new plant friends, propagate your plant knowledge, and grow more joy in your life. It's the kindest and plantiest corner of the internet. If you'd like to join us and support the show, your membership contribution on a monthly basis supports the show. It helps me create these podcast episodes. You can learn more in the show notes, or you can go to jointhegardensociety.com to join us. All right. Without further ado, the founders of Soltech, Chris, Mike, and Paul. The boys of Soltech. Oh my gosh. I can't believe it's taken 5 years to have you on the podcast. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having us, Maria.
Okay, before we get started, I know you all very well, but I'd love for you to introduce yourself and your current role for the company and what your role looked like day one and what it looks like now, like how you've grown with the company. So, Chris, do you want to start?
Yeah. My name is Chris Clark. I'm the CMO and co-founder of Soltech Solutions. My title is CMO, but I guess when we first started, we pretty much, all three of us had our hands in all the day-to-day aspects of building and starting a company. Currently, I just manage the marketing operations at Soltech. So if you see an ad, it's probably run by my face. So that's what I do now.
Got it. And what about you, Mikey?
I'm Michael Planer. I'm the co-founder and chief technology officer of Soltech. Pretty much I handle the engineering and supply chain side, keeping everyone in line, keeping all the assembly people, you know, up to date with shipments and making sure everything's just flowing well. When we first started, my job was more the technical side of keeping the website up and designing the products and supply chain. But now I've handed off those roles to really excellent managers that we have in place.
So are you still designing like the grow lights that you have coming out? Do you still have your hands involved in product development, or are you now kind of just running the product developers, like managing the product developers?
I still have my hands in everything. We do have an excellent product developer, Justin Jacobs. He kind of leads the design, and then I provide assistance, especially along the sides of supply chain or giving him resources or just writing off on final designs.
And Mikey, were you the one who like designed the Aspect? The Aspect was the first light that you guys came out with. Was that you?
Yeah. So the Aspect was fully designed by me along with the Highland and the Vita. Justin Jacobs took over with the new product that's coming out,
which we'll talk about later. But that's so cool. Yeah. And I feel like on behalf of our whole community of Growing Joy listeners, I know many of them have the Aspects. Thank you. And I want to dive into like what that process even looked like. But before we do that, Paul, why don't you introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Paul. I'm a CEO and co-founder, and mostly administrative stuff, legal, accounting, human resources, business to business. Like the both guys said, our early days, we were jacks of all trades, had to do anything and everything, whatever got the job done. As co-founder, though, just like these guys, and what I love most is just being visionary and kind of thinking where we need to go, what we have to do, and just setting ourselves with goals and then kind of allocating that to our team members. But yeah, pretty much the same thing. We just have a larger team now of about give or take 20 employees. So just managing, making sure we have a strong team and a set vision.
You guys are some of my dearest plant friends, and you know, plant friends turned business partners or business affiliates. And I think our relationship is one of like the sweetest things, like I'm the most proud of building, you know, in some of the relationships that I've had here, because I feel like we kind of launched very similarly. We've experimented together. We've tested together. We've both grown. And from my vantage point, watching you guys build this company has been mind-blowing. So I'm so excited to dive deep into the how Soltech became a multi-million dollar company. You guys made a multi-million dollar company. What does that feel like? Let's start there.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I do want to thank you for having us on. And it's been a wild journey with you, especially because we did start around the same time. I mean, we did launch the Aspect in 2017, but you are probably one of our first sponsors or the first person to accept my request, I guess. And we've just been growing ever since with you along the same lines. And we've done events together and we've sponsored your podcast. And I've just seen you grow throughout the years has been awesome, kind of equally as we grow. So I just wanted to pop that in there before we get into it.
Oh, that's really nice, Chris. But more importantly, what does it feel like to have built a million-dollar plant brand? Did you even know that could be possible when you started out?
Honestly, I don't think we ever really thought in those terms. It was just kind of every day completing this mission. And it's funny, it's nothing, while our surroundings have changed, it's pretty much exactly the same. Our conversations are the same. It's just, how can we take another step towards fulfilling our mission of more plants, more places? And we're still the same guys. We still love what we do. So it's pretty effortless, but every now and then you do have to stop and just consider how blessed we are, which is a time like right now.
Yeah. I feel like every time we chat, you know, you're in a new office, you guys have, you're consistently expanding. And while we were doing our sound check, Paul is in the office and you showed me, you guys have this like C-suite little office to yourselves where it's just the three of you. But that brings me back to knowing you guys in 2017 when the thing started, it was literally the three of you guys like building the lights and shipping them out. So I want to go on this whole journey of how you built this plant brand. Let's start at the beginning. How do you guys know each other? And did the business come first or did the friendship come first?
Friendship definitely came first. Mikey and I have been best friends since high school and always been just a couple of knuckleheads, just having fun, trying to get out of high school and onto the next thing, enjoying the ride. And then Mikey went off to Penn State to study energy engineering and I went off to Temple and where I met Chris, we became roommates. And that was amazing. You know, hit it off right off the bat. Also became best friends out the gate. And yeah, just kind of like that. And we continued throughout college just as friends. But it wasn't until after college that the three of us realized we had a lot more in common with bigger goals than graduating college. And so we all kind of came together and said, let's do this thing.
And what did that look like? Were plants important to you in college? Like, where did the calling for a plant light come from?
Yeah. So I studied environmental science in college. So I kind of always had that earthy background, so to speak, which pairs well with Mikey's background with the energy engineering. He studied solar panels and renewable energy in college. So it kind of worked itself out that way. I wouldn't say like the passion back then 7 years ago was at 100 like it is now. But yeah, it's definitely grown over the years and it was a good fit for all three of us.
I love it. So back to, you know, day one or maybe day zero or like the negative days before Soltech was launched, you were saying that, you know, you had these expertise in environmental sciences and energy engineering, but what specifically made you think grow lights? Was there a, you know, research into what holes were in what markets and you decided to fill them? Like when did the, for lack of a better word, light bulb turn on of, oh, this is the pain point and this is the need? Because from where I'm standing, you guys were the first grow light that didn't look like shit on the market in 2017. I mean, in 2017, when I was looking into grow lighting for the first time, they were all like purple and orange and weird. And then you guys were this like kind of beacon out of nowhere that made this light that looked like a normal lighting fixture. So where was that aha moment?
So it's kind of a twofold story. One of how we got into grow lights and then second, how we got into the Soltech grow lights. So grow lights, we kind of got into that. We initially, this is a long story. You get the inside scoop. We started a nonprofit together right outside of college. And no one really knows about that because, like I said, it's a huge tangent. But we started a nonprofit together. The job of that was to kind of implement sustainable resources and products for third world communities. And a lot of these third world communities had issues with their farming methods. And at that time, vertical farming was just starting to pop its head. And Mikey, Chris, you know, with their backgrounds, knew there was a solution for these farming methods. And so that was just kind of a matter of, all right, you know, solar could be very expensive. A lot of these other larger products were very expensive, but LEDs are much more affordable. And so we started thinking about ways that we could kind of develop farming methods through more accessible tools. And so we got into grow lights, the traditional agricultural grow lights, the ones people are familiar with, 600 watts, give or take, red, blue, you know, just utilitarian. And that's when we got into grow lights. Mikey really knocked it out of the park, developing even then one of the world's best grow lights.
Yeah, he actually developed a red and blue mm-hmm. light as well, a high yield light. So we do have that from when we first started.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was that point where we realized we had a product, and we were all three of us, we had graduated college, we were kind of living in our respectable corners of the earth, just kind of figuring out what's next, working on this. When we realized, all right, we have a prototype, let's all move in together and give ourselves a year ultimatum. So that's where, you know, enter Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, cute little small city that was an open door for us, arms wide open. We're happy to have us. And then that's kind of created the saga of developing our Soltec lights.
And who wants to tell us that saga?
I'll take it back a little bit further. So when I graduated college, I moved to California to teach skiing for 2 years. And in that time, Poland reached out to me and said, hey, we want to start this nonprofit. And I was all for it because I'm interested in things like that. So we moved to Bethlehem in March of 2015. And then that whole LED light development came about for me. Like, I saw the opportunity in the cannabis market with the big, huge lights for, you know, greenhouses. And back 6-7 years ago, Colorado had made it legal, and a few states, I think there's 5 states, had made it legal. So it was getting towards that. I wouldn't say like takeover of the United States, but it's getting towards that. So I saw an opportunity in that. But as we developed these lights, as Mike developed these lights, you know, they're huge, they're big, they're very ugly. We went around to our friends and family who wanted to support us. And we said, hey, would you like one of these lights? And they're like, no, I wouldn't want one of these lights anywhere. Like, I don't have a need for that. And then also at the time, there's companies that had teams of engineers that developed these lights specifically for cannabis that are very good, you know, Bluetooth enabled, Wi-Fi, blah, blah, blah. We would have had to work a lot to get to that point in that market. So we kind of etched out a niche in the house plant space because we found that, you know, there's no light to feed the needs of my mother, or there's no light to feed the needs of Maria growing plants. So we kind of etched out that niche, and we found the right spectrum. We found the right housing. We found the right design, and we made the aspect. And we did a Kickstarter in 2017, a successful Kickstarter. And ever since that, we kind of, you know, took it from there with our spectrum and lighting design.
Basically, what I had done as well to build off of what Chris said is the spectrum that we had made with the original product was perfect for growing plants. That's the same spectrum we actually use now. It just appears warm white. It's took a long time to figure that out, but it still has the same, you know, red and blue spectrum, the same red and blue wavelengths that you would find in like a traditional grow light. We made that switch primarily based on the feedback of friends and family, but also as we were getting into the Bethlehem startup scene, you know, we got a lot of feedback from investors or people who worked with investors, incubators, you know, kind of like that Silicon Valley vibe. We were connected with a startup incubator called Hatch House, where we met a lot of the accountants and lawyers that we still use and a lot of the friends. Justin Jacobs, our operations manager, we actually met at Hatch House. So big shout out to Hatch House, which is no longer around, unfortunately, but it had that really cool Silicon Valley, you know, vibe. But anyway, through a lot of conversation, and through some grants, some startup incentives, the help of the city of Bethlehem, that's how we really kind of got our start.
We are in wedding and housewarming season, plant friends, and I cannot think of a better, more thoughtful, more magical gift than a personalized Wind River wind chime. Wind River Chimes will deliver the most magical, most thoughtful, and personalized gift straight to your door. Wind River Chimes creates premium, handcrafted, and hand-tuned wind chimes, which are designed for exceptional precision and lasting beauty For over 35 years, Wind River Chimes has been passionately pursuing harmony by delivering wind chimes that help create a peaceful, soothing, and restful environment. We have had two of their chimes on either side of our house for the last 4 months, and I have to tell you, plant friends, waking up to the sound of the chimes from my bedroom window singing to me has honestly made my house feel like a spa. I love the wind chime that's outside of my office. It sings in the wind throughout the day, and it's a reminder to just drop in and be present. I'm obsessed. And I bet whoever you gift one to would be obsessed as well. A Wind River chime is the perfect gift because every time the recipient hears the gorgeous chime singing in the wind, they're going to think of you and be gifted a moment of calm. Plus, if you use the code GROWINGJOY at checkout, you'll get a free engraving on any engravable wind chime. So you can personalize the wind chime with a name, an anniversary date, or a special message. Go listen to all the different options they have on their website. Head to windriverchimes.com to listen to all of the melodious options and use the code GROWINGJOY at windriverchimes.com for a free engraving to add a special element to your gift. Once again, that's windriverchimes.com with code GROWINGJOY. Do you have upcoming travel to a different country scheduled, or maybe you have a relative or a friend who speaks a different language that you want to connect with on a deeper level? Why not easily learn a new language with my favorite language learning tool, Rosetta Stone? I recently went to Italy and I brushed up on my Italian by using the Rosetta Stone app for like 20 minutes every morning. It was so easy to use. It was part of my morning practice. It was really fun. And let me tell you, Rosetta Stone works. It brushed me up so good. I was getting around Italy easily speaking Italian after putting those reps in. If you don't already know, Rosetta Stone is the trusted language learning tool available on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone has 30 years of experience, millions of users, and 25 languages offered. It makes language learning so fun, so easy, and so fast. It immerses you in the language, which is the fastest way to learn. So it's an intuitive process with no English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language. It even coaches you on pronunciation with its true accent feature, which is like basically having a physical trainer for your accent. It's so wild. The desktop and app options make it so easy to do consistently, and it's an amazing value. Lifetime membership has all 25 languages forever for any and all trips and language needs in your entire life. So this year I brushed up on my Italian, but next year Billy and I want to go to Japan so we could learn conversational Japanese with it. That's lifetime access to 25 language courses Rosetta Stone has to offer, and right now they're offering 50% off. It's an insane steal. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Growing Joy with Plants listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life, plant friends. It's an insane deal. Redeem 50% off at Rosetta, R-O-S-E-T-T-A, stone.com/today. Okay, that's so cool. And I want to nerd out a little bit more with you, Mike, in a minute. But before we dive into the product development, like a few things I just want to reflect back to you guys and to the listeners, because I think people could look at Soltech right now and think, I could never get there. That's such a big company. Look at all the influencers they work with. Look at all the employees they have. But like that story is so interesting. I wrote a few things down. Number one, pivoting, right? I think with entrepreneurship, people are so scared to pivot. They feel like their first mission, their first idea is the idea that they have to stick with. And you can get so stuck there. And I know, like for me, even just, you know, pivoting or just expanding into wellness, expanding into other verticals and just kind of opening up the conversations and the podcast was so scary. But you can let yourself get so pigeonholed. And if you guys didn't let yourself pivot to houseplants from, you know, that original grow light, you'd be also competing in a much more saturated market. I mean, you were first to market with the houseplant lights. So that's the first thing, that like flexibility of pivoting. I think your 1 year ultimatum is really interesting and how all in you guys went, because Paul, you skirted over this, but you guys literally moved in together. You were living together, right?
Yeah. And Clark and Mikey had only met twice before. So it was really like, and if you know, all three of us, we're all three very different people. And so that was kind of when we realized that, because we've all had roommates before, you fight over dishes, but that didn't even happen with us, because I think we went into this relationship, this new era, having a mission. And when you have something to kind of anchor yourself to, you'll let all sorts of little things slide. You'll let bonds build because you're actually trying to achieve a mission together. We really believe that. And yeah. I think that took us very far as friends and as a company.
That's something I really adore about the three of you is how different you are and like how much you love each other for your differences. I think it's very sweet. And yeah, I also think like developing a community and a collaborative group of people in your circle that have different skill sets. Like you guys have these skill sets that complement each other so beautifully. I've also found, you know, in my entrepreneurial journey, like my best friend happened to be a website designer. So she's done my website. I've given her plants and consulting like this. Even if you're not going into business with people, that like collaborative, like, let's work with each other. Let's mine our skill sets. Let's trade our skill sets, especially when you're coming up, like when you're starting out with nothing and you don't have budgets, right, to pay a website designer, or you guys wouldn't have had a budget to hire a engineer to do that. But the fact that you all could figure it out and work together and then trust that with the three of you, you could kind of figure out what the blind spots are and roll with them, I think is really interesting. And I think with collaboration, like you have to have differences. It's not necessarily about finding the person who is exactly like you and then teaming up. It's finding the person who isn't like you, who has a different skill set.
You're going to have to make sacrifices. Like we've made so many sacrifices starting this company, whether it's, you know, relationship based with other people or financially. We didn't have a lot of money starting. I would say we were working paycheck to paycheck and, you know, just starting that. You have to see the goal at the end. Like you can't lose sight of that. Once you lose sight of that, it's over. And then also, like, you know, we work closely with universities as well. And we see these like entrepreneurial classes in the universities, and not to knock that or anything, but you see a lot of great ideas coming from these universities. And then once these kids graduate, it's over because it doesn't work. That idea didn't work. So they're just going to get a finance job or an accounting job or something that's safe. But if they just changed it a little bit or went a different direction or just talked to someone else or just, you know, talk to everybody,
be persistent.
You know, talk to as many people as you can, be persistent, like it would work. And I think that we just had that little like, no, we see where it needs to be and we're going to get there no matter what. Like we're going to make all these sacrifices. We're going to change what we do on a day-to-day basis. But at the end of the day, we got to make that goal and we stuck it out. And that's like a huge, that's a very important part.
And like 99% of businesses don't stick it out. I also think that speaks to ego, you know, being able to like get out of your own ego and have the mission and have the foresight of like, this isn't necessarily so much about you as much as it's about this team, as much as it's about the customers that you're serving and what you got to do. So what did that first year look like? You guys living together?
Perfect. Yes, thank you. The perfect. So ego is the perfect segue into this. So the first day we moved in, we said, shit, we need jobs. We had no money. We had graduated college. Our friends were all living in Philly, whatever, working finance jobs. We were like, okay, we know what we're doing, but we need to pay for it. So walked over to the Hotel Bethlehem. Chris and I got banquet serving jobs, wearing tuxedos, serving food at weddings.
Amazing.
Mikey would do eBay, go to yard sales and flip stuff. And so sure enough, if we had to buy a $100 part, we would all take out wallets and go $33, $33, $33. We'd buy that part. And that took our egos, you know, when you're watching all your friends going out, partying their first job, and you're getting, you know, you're wearing tuxedos covered in other people's syrup, and you're like, this better work.
Right.
But you know what? As friends, we had fun throughout the process as well, as we grew as friends. And, you know, every now and then you'd look around and you'd say, we're on to something great and life's not so bad. We can keep doing this. So we did.
Did you explicitly write out a mission statement? And you keep referring to, you know, we had the mission, we had the vision. Did you have that written down and on the wall or something? Like, was that a conversation you guys had when you, before you moved in? Like, how did you hold each other accountable to that vision?
It was kind of innate. It's still even hard to pull it out of us now. People want a very succinct, like 10, where like an elevator pitch. We've never had to pitch. We've never had to practice. It's just literally in us. And it's reflected by our actions. Again, as we grew closer as friends, it was just kind of a shared thing through conversations. It's not just, not one of us just said a 10 word sentence and was like, oh, that's it. No, it's just kind of, we just shared conversations that ultimately led to all of us being on the same page. And that's all that mattered.
Yeah, it's the short victories too that help out a lot too. It's like a day-to-day thing. Like, what did we do today? Mm-hmm. You know, did we improve it today in this 24-hour period? Did we improve? And we're not really whiteboard guys, the three of us. Our mm-hmm. team is mm-hmm. now, but we really don't utilize whiteboards as much as we probably should. Mm-hmm. It's just not who we are as people. And we just gel well together, which I guess surround yourself with the right people and it'll take it to new heights. Mm-hmm.
I love that. Anything else, Mikey, to add on to that?
The only thing I would add is talking directly to the listeners that are interested in starting a business. You're probably not going to make money the first year or the second year, maybe not even the third year, but don't let that discourage you. Make sure you're pivoting. Make sure you're making the right moves. We had gotten together in, say, 2015. You know, we had moved into Bethlehem. I don't think I got a real paycheck until probably 2019, and it wasn't big. You know, it wasn't like we were doing this for the money even by 2019. I would say 2020, 2021 is when we finally earned something reasonable, and it still wasn't up to the, you know, industry standards. Now we have a big enough team and we can make that all work, but don't get discouraged by the first year, second year. You know, going back to what Chris had said about the entrepreneurship programs from universities, I see that as being the biggest reason a lot of students out of university just give up. You know, after 1 year, they gave it a go and they thought it was going to be perfect. They were promised, you know, that this was going to work. And it probably is working, but no one knows who you are just yet. So, you know, don't give up if you don't make money the first or second year.
Yeah. And customer feedback is also an important part of this, too. You got to listen to the people that you're trying to sell to. If they don't want a certain thing, well, then you got to give them another thing. You can't force a product down their throat. You know what I mean? You have to respect what they feel and what they think, and you adapt, you know, and you pivot.
Yeah. I have two follow-up questions to that. Well, this actually isn't a question. This is more of a commentary, but I think that entrepreneurship is so glamorized, especially in the United States. Everybody on TikTok is talking about how easy it is to make $10,000 a month, blah, 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 doing digital marketing. And I'm like, entrepreneurship is so hard. It's my equivalent of walking around with no skin on all day, right? Like, it is so vulnerable. And so many people, you know, ask me, I think I'm going to start a podcast. When can I expect to make money? And I'm like, how much do you have in your bank account? You have to invest in the business before. And I just wanted to say, I'm in the same boat as you guys. I didn't start paying myself until like 4 or 5 years, frankly, into the business because, and I was paying for Bloom and Grow with my paychecks from Broadway for the first year. You know, you have to want it and you do have to be willing to sacrifice. And that is a very vulnerable first year. So along those lines, in that first year, first, whoever's listening that might be in a period of, oh my God, what did I just do? Like, what did I get myself into? Did you have, like, you know, Chris, you kind of mentioned those quick wins, or did you have signals that you were like, okay, yes, this is going to work?
Absolutely. First of all, we've had numerous quick losses. Like, the majority of the time, it's losing.
Yeah.
But you have to turn that into wins. I just remember the Kickstarter, staying up all night for a week, like all week, just working on videos and working on getting this perfect. It's never perfect, but getting it to as close as being perfect as possible. And that week win, or, you know, we've launched it. Okay, finally. Okay. But then the next day, okay, now we have to promote it to our friends. Now we have to, okay, I launched it. So now you have to go buy it now. And it's just, it was a day-to-day struggle, to be honest with you. That's like the first win that I thought, win in quotes, that I had was when we launched that Kickstarter, finally, all the hard work from the past 2 years before we even launched anything. It was just research and development since, you know, 2015 to 2017. So it was tough for the first 2 years. And then even the Kickstarter, I mean, just put into perspective, we made, I think it was like 20,000. We got $20,000, which is a lot of money. But with that, it's not really an investment. It's kind of like we get the money up front, and then we make the product, and then we deliver the product.
Yeah. So it's lost. It's out the door already.
Well, yeah. We didn't, it was good to kickstart the business, but it wasn't, we didn't gain any money off of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just gained the profit that we made, but it wasn't $20,000. But And then after that, Kickstarter was launched, and they talk about this too. And people listening, if you do a Kickstarter, it's successful because it's on the platform. It gets millions and millions and millions of eyes on it. You're trending. And then after it's off the platform, then you see the dip in sales. It doesn't continue. The sales don't continue. So there was a dip after that. And that was kind of a point of, oh, shoot, like it's not getting out to the world like it should be getting out there. And that was hard to kind of stomach. But, you know, you got to fight through those times and just keep at it. And eventually it'll just slowly keep building. But each day, one day at a time.
Yeah. We confidently knew we had, if you saw our working conditions, you should get a glimpse of it in the Kickstarter, our friend's unfinished basement, but you had these beautiful, crazy plants growing with zero sunlight. And we had pomegranates, we had name it. We tried them all and it was all working. And if we were able to light up this dingy, there were rats down there at one point, literally. We were able to light up this dingy, dark basement and make it feel beautiful. That was our value. That was what we had to deliver. And so even when people weren't initially being completely receptive after the Kickstarter, I remember cold calling hydroponic equipment suppliers till I was blue in the face, getting, oh, that's not a grow light. That's not 600 watts. Come back when you got a real grow light. And it's like, well, we have something that's clearly has value, but we have to kind of create our own path of introducing it through communities, through partnerships, which is where, you know, enter Maria, because you understood what we had. And that's where our kind of relationship started was, throughout all those adversities, we were confident that we were really onto something.
Yeah, let's get into the community building aspect of that because, well, number one, entrepreneurship 101, identify the pain point and then, you know, solve it, right? But I think, and like you just said, you know, when you guys really started taking off was when you really did develop community. And I feel like you can think about lights being very clinical, very nerdy, spectrum, PPFD, like, and Mike, we're going to get into that, but you didn't make it that nerdy, like the twist you took on it and how you like really started developing community and how I know community is such an important part of your brand now. When did that start and how did that get developed?
I would say when we first got the initial prototypes in, then the first batch of actual units, and we started building them and stockpiling them, I just reached out to probably 1,000 people in the plant community who we wanted to reach out or who we wanted to connect with, and just sent them a free light. You know, just take this, try it out, give us your feedback. If you like it, take a picture, post it on Instagram, tag us, you know, like that was it. I reached out to thousands of people, probably got, you know, 70 to 100 responses, mostly no's. But that's how we kind of reached that market.
So let's just briefly talk about, I mean, I want to talk about your marketing efforts and how they've grown, because people are probably listening either on the plantfluencer side, wanting to understand how to work with a company like you, or on the company side, wanting to know how to work with influencers. So you said you approached those people. We can kind of look at our relationship if you want, but you know, you had sent me a light. We got on a call. I love telling the story of like our first couple of calls, because I feel like we were both so green, but trying to pretend that we were not. Mm-hmm. And it was like,
for sure.
You know, I had literally taken a course on affiliate marketing, like probably the week before. Shout out Pat Flynn. I learned everything I know about business from him.
Oh yeah, Pat.
Yeah. I was like, yes, Chris, would you like to do an affiliate partnership with me? And you were like, yes, sure, I will do an affiliate partnership with you. Yes,
that sounds delightful. Let's engage business.
Yes. What does that look like? How does this, you know, and, you know, it was a very simple thing. If I shared with my community and someone bought a light and I properly disclosed it, then you guys would give me a portion or give the business a portion of that sale. It works for you because, you know, it's free marketing on my end. That's how affiliate marketing works, by the way, for anyone who's curious. When you see coupon codes, like if you see influencers give you coupon codes or they give you special links, that's normally tracking. So companies like Soltech can track the conversion of, you know, how much of your community is buying from them. And we worked that way for a really long time. I know affiliates is a big part of your business. And then when I was ready to take that next step of starting to establish actual podcast sponsorships, you guys were, one of the first people I approached and also being like, would you like to sponsor my podcast? And then you guys were like, yes, sure, we will sponsor, you know, like just, but having that kind of mutual trust and mutual acknowledgement of, once again, different skill sets that work beautifully together. So when you had no budget, what did that look like versus now you've got a nice budget and you don't have to do specifics, but like just give people a sense of how that's grown. And were there any savvy things that you did when you were starting out that didn't cost a lot of money? You didn't have, you know, multi-thousand dollar marketing budgets that really ended up paying off. You hear that slurping, plant friends? That is me on my dregs of my daily dose of greens, courtesy of today's sponsor, Equilibria. Equilibria is a woman-owned wellness brand with unique science-backed products that help bring your mind and body back into harmony. I always have loved green juice and greens powders. Obviously, I love plants. I love growing plants. I love eating plants. Plants are good for you. And I have tried most greens powders brands on the market, honestly, at this point. I have to say, I'm really loving the Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens. I might argue it's probably one of the best tasting greens powders I've ever had, and that says a lot because I've tried most of them. The Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens contains an immune antioxidant and detox blend along with prebiotics, probiotics, and over 35 fruits and veggies. There's no way I'm eating 35 fruits and vegetables throughout the day, but I love that I'm getting little doses and the micronutrients that are in each of the different veggies and fruits, right? Plus, they're certified organic, which I love. A lot of the competitors are not. I just mix one scoop of the greens powder into my water every day, and I'm shocked at how delicious this powder tastes. It's kind of like apple juice. I started back on the greens powder bandwagon because this spring, in this like season of rejuvenation, I'm kind of rejuvenating, doing an overhaul of my health. I've returned to my workout routine. I'm getting in more sleep. I've recommitted to my morning practice, and I've made this Equilibria Nutri-Greens part of that morning practice, drinking the powder in water in the morning. Plus, I love a female-founded company, right? Don't we all? If you want to try this greens powder, Equilibria is hooking you up with 15% off. Head to myeq.com and use code BLOOM for 15% off Equilibria's daily Nutri-Greens and so many other different products on their website. That's myeq.com and use code BLOOM at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.
Yeah, when we first started, I mean, I feel like the influencer, plantfluencer, affiliate aspect of marketing has kind of changed. Like the landscape has changed over the last 7 years or so.
It's way more saturated, for sure.
It's way more saturated. And honestly, I can't knock it because I think that they're actually getting what they deserve, so to speak, because that's kind of how we built the business. I would reach out to influencers in the space or just people in the space and just send free lights. And then they would just post a picture that we could also repost on our Instagram. And that's kind of how we built it. And we also gave coupon codes to the people who were popular enough or had enough followers to, and I think it was probably like 30,000 followers at the time, just giving them out left and right. But people were very receptive to that. They're like, oh yes, free product. Yes, I'll promote this. And maybe it had to do with the product itself. And people were, especially in the plant space, a lot more receptive to a grow light because it does help my plants and it actually works. So I'm more likely to promote that than, like, let's say a glass or something or a, yeah, you know, something like that. But that's kind of how we got it going. And it just, it blossomed from there. And the budget was, honestly, the budget was like $100 a month. Like, it was almost zero when we first started.
Scrappy. Yeah.
I mean, the budget was the cost of goods sold. So the price of the good to ship to someone, that's the cost of that form of marketing. And then the 10% commission, 10 to 15% commission off of the sale. So there is a price built into that, but it's changed. The landscape has changed over the last 7 years. People have, like, an influencer has become like a thing. Like, I am now an influencer. People have managers now. They have to pay the managers. They have the rates are higher, but they're actually, I would say personally, that that is the number one reason why we became a successful company is influencer and affiliate marketing. There's no other way that we, with a very, very, very small budget, can get in front of people. We can't spend money on ads. We had no money to spend on ads. Now we can spend some money on ads as long as it returns well. But that's how we got in front of people, is with those relationships that we've built.
Yeah. And just to piggyback off that, Chris, when you don't have a lot of money, you have to stretch literally a couple of dollars sometimes. You have to be creative and work to your strengths outside of money. And for us, that was personality, caring, character, and community. Like you said, it's like we just would find people who we shared passions with that we wanted to honestly kind of share through each other. And it wasn't necessarily early a monetary thing. I mean, there was monetary ties to it, but by being a kind of a company that makes it clear that we care first and just want to impact the world in our little way, I think a lot of people would gravitate towards us and our passions because we shared those passions. And then people would post about our lights initially because they actually loved the light, not because we were paying them to post about the light. And it was because we shared that common passion, because we were in the community. It wasn't because we were just paying them to do it. It's because people actually gave a shit.
Yeah. And also the plant community is super receptive to, like, anything, you know, and we had this new idea and the plant community is just so caring. They just want to help. It's an awesome space to be in. Like, I wouldn't want to be in any other space, to be honest with you. And it just worked out for us.
I think also you were really first to market or one of the first. So people were so genuinely excited when you came because it was like, oh my God, this thing is here and it's solving all my problems, you know? What about when it started growing, like those crazy commercials you guys produced and all that kind of fun stuff where all of a sudden you're creating stuff to really cultivate your community that isn't just influencers? I feel like you were really trying to support your customers. Like, what has cultivating that customer community look like for you guys?
We've worked with some great directors, I would say. All friends. They're all friends. Like, anyone we work with, it's not like hiring an outside agency or anything. It's all people we know. So Paul and I roomed with one of our best friends. His name's Kyle. He's a screenwriter, but he does directing and stuff like that. So he, you know, he comes up with funny, creative ideas that he pitches to us and we're like, yeah, this is funny. Like, let's do it. And also Brandon is a local Bethlehem director and producer who's produced some of our creative videos. And they, you know, they're always eager to do it. Like, that's what they love. So, like, it's really just like, you know, we have an idea, they have an idea. We come together and kind of make it happen. Surround yourself with people that, like, care about what you're doing and, like, actually see where this can go. And are very excited to work with you. And it's not just like some money hungry agency who just wants to spend your ad budget and doesn't really care about the soul of your company. They just see numbers. That's all they see. So we've been lucky to work with and know these people. And it's been fun. It's been fun through the years. Like Rose of Sunflower was fun. We just had this idea of a human flower being under our light. And
in a silly costume.
It's changing her life. In a silly costume. And it's changed her life. And, you know, these are just fun ideas that we have. And that was Brandon directed that one. And it was fun and successful. And we're always trying to come up with something new and fun to engage with our audience.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, I want to pivot to product development for a little bit. Mikey, you're on the hot seat. So obviously you were saying, you know, what makes a grow light for indoor houseplant or growing your own food, but like indoor for this market different than those cannabis grow lights?
Absolutely. So as we had mentioned before, you know, we had started with the traditional red and blue grow lights. That spectrum is still in our product, but we prioritized home decor. Through prioritizing home decor, you know, we were able to achieve the warm white light. And, you know, we can claim museum quality because it has a CRI value, which is color rendering index of 98, 97, depends on the chip, meaning that we can render color nearly perfect, which is the only light that they would use in a museum. It's kind of like a hard to make light. They're usually like ultra expensive. It's not a light that like a consumer usually bought. So, you know, we kind of hit this weird target that we weren't even aiming for that we found out after we bought it. And, you know, it makes us pretty unique in the industry as there wasn't a white light on the market, but as white lights started to kind of come out on the market, none of them had our spectrum. None of them were museum quality. They were blue or pink tints still to them, or like your eyes would just look at it and be like, well, that's not white. Like there's something wrong with that color white. That's not what we wanted to put out on the market.
And can you give us a high-level crash course in photosynthetic spectrum in general? You guys have a full spectrum photosynthetic. What's the line? Full spectrum photosynthetic.
Yeah, grow light.
Light, yeah. I'm like, I've read it 100 times in ads, but how do you manipulate that? Like, why is that important to manipulate when creating a grow light?
So it's very important. Your traditional general lighting products just don't have the spectrum to support plants. What I had to do, keep it high level, red and blue is kind of the easiest, cheapest method to grow a plant. It has to be a specific wavelengths within the red and blue. You know, there's 50 plus wavelengths within blue alone, and only a handful of them will grow a plant, let alone red and some of the other colors. To dive into a little bit, basically what I had done is I looked at every single individual wavelength all the way from the low 300s, which is ultraviolet light, all the way up into the 800-900s, which is infrared light. And I identified what wavelengths were important to plants. And I looked at like 100 different plants, whatever science I could find on it, and just started compiling my own spectrum, wavelength by wavelength, and building out the chips, which was not easy. It sounds easy. I mean, it doesn't sound easy, but...
No, that does not sound easy, Mikey. That sounds, my full body like cringed listening to you talk about breaking down the different spectrums, the different waves. So what does that mean? Can you speak just a little bit more to that, that different plants need the different colors?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I dove into it. I got the top 100 plants and just found what plant needed specific wavelengths and just started adding them to our spectrum. It took a long time, a lot of science. I reached out to a lot of professors, kept up with all the latest plant science, which there wasn't any really at the time. And we, you know, we made our own spectrum out of that. We had worked closely with BridgeLux as well, which helped us coat the chip to make a beautiful warm white light. But under all that coating are all the individual LED chips that we need for plant growth.
Okay, so there's a chip in the light that when you turn it on, shines those different waveforms?
Yeah. So we have one chip, technically. It's a 40-watt LED chip. Underneath that little orange coating, if you take a look at the bottom of your lights, there are hundreds of individual LED chips. Each one's about a watt each. Those are what form the unique spectrum. Then we just cover it with a phosphorus coating that kind of helps smooth it all out a little bit and create a nice warm white light without like a jagged white that kind of looks a little odd. So it's a combination of our unique spectrum dialed in for plant growth, but then also covered up and like kind of filtered to provide warm white light.
Okay. And is it the same chip, the same spectrum, if I order your Aspect pendant light versus the Highland track light versus the Vita or Vita grow bulb light? Is it the same spectrum that I'm getting, just kind of in a different format?
Yeah, everything has the same spectrum. It's all just different housings, different formats.
Okay. From a product development standpoint, I know that there's an announcement for a new product happening that I think we can talk about now. So what did it look like for you to go from designing the Aspect to the Vita and the Vita to the, are we allowed to talk about it?
Yeah. So we have a new product coming called the Grove. It's the Grove LED bar light for the long boring name.
Woohoo! I'm so excited.
Basically, what that is, it's designed first for both under cabinet and bookshelf spaces. It's a long tubular light that, just keeps your herbs on the kitchen counter growing, or, you know, like in your background there, you know, you can use our product to kind of light up each one of those shelves. That features the same spectrum that we have. And it has, for the first time, touch dimming, which I'm very proud of, touch dimming. And it also has magnetic connection ends. And I don't want to give away too much, but it's a pretty unique product. Pretty proud that we could pull this off.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I can refer to a grow light as sexy, but you guys showed me a prototype. This is a very sexy grow bar light, like with the magnetic and the finishing. Is it only in black or is it in black and white? What are the colors that it's coming out in?
Black and white.
Yeah. So cool. I mean, and that's the other thing. I mean, number one, you identified the hole in the market for, you know, luxury, pretty grow lights, but then also you continue with the Aspect pendant, and then you did the Vita, which can screw into any light fixture. And now you're doing, you know, the bookshelf, and that under cabinet lighting is tricky for people. And I've used multiple products, but there are definite pain points with all of the different products, and being able to really hang under a bookshelf is a big one for me.
Yeah, that whole process and developing different lights, it really just comes back to like what our customers say and what our customers feel about what we should do next. We started with the pendant light. It is the first of its kind. But people are like, you know, well, what if I don't want to put this hanging down? What if I want a track system or something where I can position the lights? So that was our next product, where you can actually like point the lights directly to the plants. The pendant just goes straight down, but people wanted to manipulate the lights to reach different plants because they're not all in one spot usually. So the Highland came out next, and then the Vita, which is our customer wants the easy installation, right? I can just screw it into a traditional light fixture or a lamp stand. And so we came out with that. And now, hey, well, what about under the cabinets where the Vita can't go, the Aspect can't go, the Highland can't go? Well, let's come up with something linear that can go underneath a cabinet or underneath a bookshelf or underneath a kitchen cabinet in your kitchen. So it's all about customer feedback and what you guys want. And, you know, we're all open ears all the time. You know, we want to be innovative. We're an innovative company. We want to continue that trend. So you listening, if you want something, just send us an email. It's just our first names at soltech.com. We'll get it directly. We like to hear what you guys want, and we want to come up with something that the everyday houseplant parent wants.
Yeah, I love it. I'm excited. What about naming? You have the Grove, like, where did you get the name for the Grove and the Vita? Like, who's in charge of naming the products?
In that aspect, we are a whiteboard kind of group. Yeah, we pop it on the whiteboard and we throw around names. I mean, Hodge or Paul can speak more towards, you know, that side of things. He's the ultimate creative mind there. But yes.
Yeah. Where did Grove come from?
Well, Chris came up with that one. Chris, that was his. And it was just kind of us. Well, the whole process. And so we have an incredible marketing team. But I think with it comes to the name, it's so close to us. It's like parents naming a child. And it's something more than what just sounds good. It's a bit of everything. It's a whole vibe. It's a whole, and you can't really teach that. You feel it, and then you come up with a short 6-letter word, 5-letter word for it. and Vita, Aspect, Thailand, Grove, they're just kind of, and stuff, that kind of task can only really fall back on us, or it's best to fall back on us, because we really, we have an idea of what we want to create, the experience we want to give in a product, and that just somehow comes out through a singular word. But it, it counts for everything that we do.
The first three products were, I would say, a little bit easier to name, just going through this whole process. The Grove, Bar Light, you know, it took some time. And, you know, we all sat down as a full team. You know, we talked to our product technicians. Everybody has a say in our office. And so to have all those opinions and different things, I mean, it takes a while to land on a name, but it had to be the right one. And I think we came down with the right one.
Yeah, I agree.
I love it. I'm so excited for you guys. A couple more questions before we wrap up and, you know, announce the wait list that people can get on. But one other technical question I have about the Grow Lights, I don't know if Mike, you want to answer this or Chris, but something that I've struggled with general grow lights is understanding how far from the plant you're supposed to hang it. And I know that, you know, all your lights come with kind of an instruction manual, but that seems to be a pain point for people. Do you have any tips for when you're installing a grow light, what the distance from the plant should be?
Well, it really depends on, obviously it depends on the plant, the high light, the low light plant. We do have a full comprehensive plant guide on our website where you can pick your exact plant that you want to grow, and you can see the different hanging heights of each individual grow light that we offer. Just a rule of thumb, you don't want to get closer than like a foot away from it, and you don't want to get farther than like 5 feet from it. You want to stay in that range, but it really depends on how strong the light is. So, you know, we offer a large aspect, which is stronger than the small aspect. Our Highlands are different wattage than those, and then our Vitas are the same as a small aspect, but it's all different wattages and what you actually want to grow and how many of the plants you want to grow. So there's a comprehensive plant guide, we like to call it, on our website, where you can actually identify the plant that you want to grow, and it'll identify the hanging height of the light, the different lights. But it really just depends on what plant it is and what light you want.
Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because Plant Friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little Plant Parent Personality Quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.
To have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember I've had a couple of different instances, some with your lights and some with not your lights, but as a newbie, like putting my plants way too far from the grow light and them all stretching, and then also putting plants too close to the grow light because your 40 watt is very strong. And I had a fiddly fig under it that grew a lot. Like my fiddly fig like tripled in size. The leaves tripled in size once I put them under your grow light. and it got so tall that those top leaves started burning, and I had to like lift the aspect as the plant kept growing. So you are such a niche in a niche, only doing grow lights. You have no other products. Do you guys think you're ever going to expand out of grow lights, or are you just going to keep iterating and innovating in this niche in your lane that you're in right now?
I like where we're at. Plants indoors is the future, and plants need two things to grow: water and light. And while anybody can water a plant indoors, a building's constraints really limits to what kind of plants you can grow and where. So I see us having no shortage of continuing our solution.
Yeah, to touch on that, we're growing into not just residential spaces, we're growing into commercial spaces as well. You can see our lights in, you know, Google headquarters, Shopify headquarters. There's a lot of hotels that our lights are in, the lobbies of a lot of commercial buildings. So, you know, there's no shortage for plants inside. So I think we're going to stay in this space. We juggled the idea of actually selling plants on our website, but with selling plants comes with a lot of headaches when it comes to shipping. Plants don't really like to get shipped, especially in colder months. Obviously, they're outside in the wintertime when they're not supposed to be. So there's a lot of challenges when it comes to that. So although we do sell, we resell pots on our website, we partner with Wally Grow back a couple year with last year, and then we partner with a new plant pot company. So I think we'll just keep it as accessories right now, and that's about it.
And books, Growing Joy is on your website.
And books. Yes, we have a lot of resources. We want to be the leader in like resources on our site, like where we can find information about plants. You know, we have this comprehensive plant guide that we've spent a lot of time working on. Love for you guys to check it out. Then also we sell, I think we're up to like 8 books now or 12 books. So we love the plant resources.
I love it. And thank you for supporting my book.
Absolutely.
We spent a lot of time talking about that first year of the company. I want to kind of fast forward to where you guys are now. Marketing budgets, huge customer base, national acclaim, featured in different, you know, major publications. I'd love to know a obstacle that you've recently overcome that you're really proud about. And then I want to close asking like what the biggest highlights have been. So we'll start with, you know, I love the teachable moments, and then we'll end on the biggest exciting moments.
Yeah. Yeah. It's still not verified on Instagram somehow.
Still not verified on Instagram.
That is a real pain in the ass.
That damn Instagram.
That's horseshit.
It hurts a lot.
That one really gets me. We've been trying for years and years and years, and still nothing.
Anyone listening who works for, you know, yeah, if you work up for Facebook hook or Instagram, please hook my friends up, please. Yeah.
Please. But yeah, I mean, like the goal in recent memory, I mean, the bar light is, we haven't launched a product in a long time. So that's something that I'm really looking forward to. And we've been working on it for so long. So I'm just looking forward to that moment where we can actually bring it to the world. And that's going to be very fulfilling for me personally. But as far as like a teachable moment, I guess, for the listeners, is my teachable moment would be like, do not be afraid to fail, because we fail. We still fail. Maybe not every single day, but there's little failures in there. But I kind of enjoy it, because that's like the only moment where I can learn what not to do and what to do. Is if I do something wrong and if I fail. And you can ask all the employees that we have, like, they're always comfortable with like running ideas by me and running new things by me, because yeah, let's try it and let's fail. And then let's learn from that. And then let's do something else. And that's the biggest takeaway that I've gathered in the last, you know, 7 years since we started this whole thing.
That also speaks to mindset.
Yeah.
As an entrepreneur, like you need to not be in, I mean, I'm like, you need to be in therapy, not you specifically, but like every entrepreneur, yeah. I feel like mindset is so important, and you can let a failure ruin your week, or you can let a failure inspire you to take even more aligned action for your business. Yeah. And it sounds like your mindset and that approach to failure is even more important than whatever you learn from that failure, right? Because that's the common experience you're going to have. It's not that moment of failure, you're going to get over that. It's how you approach, it's how you bounce back from it. So I love that so much.
Yeah, absolutely. And I hate cliches, and that is cliche, but I hate it. But it's so true.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm the sappiest gal ever. So hit me with them. Yeah. What about you, Mikey?
I think a good one, a good teachable moment for us, or at least for me in the last couple of months, has been working with Amazon. Amazon's a nightmare to work with. Like, for anyone listening, if you have to work with Amazon, you got to take a step back and like consider they have full power of everything. If some customer says that that you stole their image, without any rhyme or reason, you can shut that listing down, and that's not good. So, or they can just delist you for no reason or whatever. Amazon has full power. Going back and forth with Amazon actually was a blessing. We can't talk about it, it's confidential, but we are in a partnership with Amazon now, and we have this great rep. You'll see us on Amazon a lot more, you know, moving forward. So I guess my teachable moment there is don't get discouraged and, you know, walk away because something's too hard. Just keep at it. And just, you know, eventually something will work out. In the case of Amazon, maybe you'll find a really good connect at Amazon that just loves your product and loves who you are and just wants to help. And, you know, for us, that was a big deal. So, yeah. You know, we're going to grow that relationship now with Amazon.
Yeah, to piggyback off that, we built an e-commerce site. So like the majority of customers come through our e-commerce site, and we own that. And that's our bread and butter. And that's what we rely on. And Amazon's don't, and I think Mike was trying to say, like, don't rely on Amazon to be the marketplace to sell your product. Mm-hmm. Make your own path, make your own website, like sell away from other things, like even eBay, Amazon, Walmart.com, like all that. That's secondary. That should be secondary to what you're really focused on and what you've built. Yeah. And this is what we've built. You know what I mean? Like, this is it. And Amazon's great. Don't get me wrong in certain aspects, but just rely on what you know and what you've built and just make that as big as you can.
Yeah, that reminds me of two things. Number one, on the influencer side, you don't own your Instagram followers. You don't own your Pinterest followers. You don't own anything except your email list. So when anyone ever approaches me saying, I want to get into plantfluencing, I want to get into podcasting, I don't own my podcast listeners. Building your email list is the most important thing you can do as an influencer. And then the other thing is, you know, what Mikey really spoke to is relationship building and understanding a long-term relationship with like-minded or aligned brands and companies that might not work out in that moment. And it might be confusing and difficult in that moment. But if you can see the potential, it does make sense to double down and invest in that relationship and trust that there's going to be opportunities down the line, which it sounds like with Amazon, that's exactly what happened. Like, you had started kind of as a small fish in a big pond, and now you're getting bigger opportunities. You guys are involved in something that I just had a very similar experience. I approached this company that I'm obsessed with. They're so aligned with me. Shout out Lofty. And yeah, so this is a double speak to relationship building. I wanted Lofty to sponsor my podcast so badly, but they're a small company and they weren't able to come in at the rates that I needed. And I said, let's just stay in touch. I love you guys so much. I believe in your product so much. Like, please, let's just stay in touch. I forgot about them, right? 6 months later, they circle back. They're doing this special launch of this alarm clock that they want to loop in plants. And we're working together on that. It's not the way that I thought we would work together. But then they said, who else do you know in this area? And I said, I know Soltec. Let's bring Soltec into this launch, you know? So it's also that really does speak to relationship building where, you know, sometimes it doesn't look like what you think it's going to look like right in that moment. But if you show up with your heart and you focus on the relationship, sometimes it really does pay off down the line. And, you know, that's my favorite thing when I get to be like, yeah, let's bring more friends in, or, oh yeah, wow, look at this like weird manifestation. Anyway, what about you, Paul?
Yeah, it's kind of piggybacks off of relationships. It's building a team. That was kind of my biggest recent lesson, because it was the three of us.
Yeah.
Friggin' 5 years, and then
literally building the lights.
Yeah.
You guys were building and shipping the lights. I don't think people know that. Yeah.
And we kind of loved it. It broke up the pace. We're hands-on guys. It was actually probably harder for it to get us to stop doing it, to be honest. But yeah, in about 2 years, we grew to about 20 employees. And then we have to kind of start giving over your baby, and you have to start delegating. You have to learning to hire up and realizing that you need people to buy into your organization in such a deep level. We've also had to fire many people who just, you hate to say it, you hate to see it, but there's a huge difference between people who are emotionally committed to your mission. And we thankfully are at a place where our team members, they are absolutely invested in what we do here. And so they're always bringing their best, and the customers are seeing the result of that.
Yeah. And also, like, when you do get to that position where you can start hiring people, hire people that you trust and that see your vision. Some of our first hires were, we'll call them our friends from our past jobs. From Paul and I worked at the Hotel Bethlehem. We actually brought on people from the hotel, especially when COVID happened. You know, it's a nice hotel in Bethlehem, but they started laying off the banquet servers and there wasn't any events there. So we started hiring the people that we knew and that we trusted. And that would, you know, we talked about our company to them since we started, and they know, you know, where we're going, where we're heading, and just hire the right people around you that care. And that's a big part of it too.
That's such good advice. My entire team of contractors is listeners. Listeners. It's like you have to be a listener as a prerequisite. You have to have a skill set, but I'd rather train someone and know that they've bought into the mission and that they know what we're here to do and like the change that we want to make, than hire someone for their skill set and have them just be like a shitty person. And I have learned that the hard way.
Couldn't agree more.
All right.
That's really it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a random person on Zoom. We can't have that. Like, you have to be here, you have to be invested, and you have to be a good person, you know, at the end of the day.
Yeah. Oh my God, you guys are making me sad. This is so fun. Okay, let's wrap by, you know, we've talked a lot about the challenges and overcoming, because to me, that's the interesting, that's where you get all the juice. But let's talk about, you know, you mentioned Kickstarter was a big win for you guys. What have been some like, holy shit moments that you've had in the last maybe year, or, you know, as you've gotten a little bit bigger?
I would just say like our first like Black Friday. Oh my God, the orders are coming in. This is crazy. Like, we have to keep up with it. We have to start building, you know, we were building back then. So, you know, like lining the boxes in the hallway, getting all the orders prepared and all the labels printed. And like, that was like, oh my God, like people actually want this. This is going to go to the next level type thing. And it's kind of like, we kind of see that. I mean, we did see that, you know, our first three or so years, like we grew like 300% year to year. And it was like, oh my gosh, this is happening. And those big sale moments and those big order moments, the volume, that was just the kick in the butt and the oh my gosh moment.
I love that. That must have been so exciting to just see like order, 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 just like over and over and over again.
Yeah, it's wild. It really is crazy.
Yeah. What about you, Paul?
So yeah, it's very specific, but it was in 2022. Well, I guess we got the award in 2023, but it's the Easter. It's kind of a mouthful, but it's the United States Small Business Administration. They kind of oversee all the small businesses in the U.S. with a branch for it. But we received the 2022 Entrepreneurial Success of the Year for all of Eastern Pennsylvania's small businesses, which is 40 counties, millions of businesses. So that, you know, being a community first, just guys and a business, to see everyone in our community come out and support us. And because we moved to Bethlehem with the intent of kind of not only growing ourselves, but growing our home. And it was just kind of like, it felt like you're at your own funeral almost, when all these different walks of life of people were just there for you, people who've been, you know, in this capacity or that capacity, people who've just supported you all in one room together and just celebrating all of our accomplishment. So no, that was really cool that 2022 Entrepreneurship Success of the Year for Eastern Pennsylvania's Small Business Administration. It was cool.
I love that. But I do think that's something that probably your customers don't necessarily know is how committed you are to your town and to hiring locally and building, you know, the economics of that area. I mean, you guys could have moved to Philly at this point. You could have moved to a larger city, and you know, you're very intentionally choosing to stay there, which is beautiful. And congratulations. I didn't know that. Yeah. What about you, Mikey?
Some of my favorite holy shit moments revolve around shipping, since I handled shipping for a long time until we hired someone dedicated to the shipping role, primarily just the names of who we were shipping to. You know, you catch it as you stick a label on a package. I'm not going to mention a lot of them because I don't think those people want us to talk about it or, you know. But my favorite one, who I didn't know who they were, was Bretman Rock.
Yeah.
He has an MTV show. Or
I follow him on TikTok.
I guess he still has an MTV show. We didn't know who he was. He had bought some stuff. And a couple of days later, we had friends hitting me up from like high school and college. And they're like, your product's on this Instagram of this, you know, like famous person. And we're like, what do you mean? You know, so we had reached out, and that was a great partnership. A couple other fun ones were, you know, seeing like a big tech headquarters buy from us. I think pretty much all of them have bought from us at this point. So it's really neat to see those names just come across your table, you know, as you're packaging up some big order. And that's kind of what really solidifies it for me is, you know, these big tech companies or these big commercial projects that are now using us. It's just like, wow, I made this and now it's in a company that I know or I aspire to, or that I know, it's just impressive. You know, it's our little old product, you know, from little old Bethlehem. So it's always a no shit moment when I see, you know, names on shipping labels.
I love it. That's so fun. Even just, I could imagine like those first couple of orders you guys got that weren't family and friends, that were just total strangers.
Yeah.
Like that's definitely a mind blowing moment. This was so fun. I feel like I got to know you guys so much better. Question about international shipping for our international listeners. What does international shipping look like for you guys?
International shipping is a little tricky. We have it open to as many countries as we can. If your country is not listed, please just reach out so we can investigate a little bit. International shipping is a little tricky because there's a lot of certifications, electrical rules around what can be imported into different countries. You know, so don't be discouraged if you don't see your country listed. Just let us look into it. Just hit up customer service and we'll be happy to look into it. We did recently start to collect duties and taxes, which was a big pain point that we had for years. Customers just getting surprise tax bills because their country wants a piece of the pie. So now we have you know, prepay your duties and taxes. So we have streamlined shipping now to, I think, 75 countries where you should be able to receive it 1 to 5 days after buying from us.
I love that. I had a listener in Australia. This was before you guys started doing that. And I like shipped her a Soltec light one time.
Love that.
Illegally. Maybe I should have put that on this podcast.
Yeah. So we do make custom lights for international. So if you plug in, not the aspect, but if you plug in some of our lights internationally, they might not work. So yeah, just come through our website and we'll get it to you. Yeah, we'll get it to you for sure.
Don't do it through me. Do it through Soltec. Yeah, do it the right way, guys. This is so beautiful. Okay, the Grow Bar, the Grove Grow Bar is live. And August 1st, there is a wait list. So tell us how this launch is happening and how people can be the first ones to get the Grow Bar. You want the Grow Bar. It is so cool. We'll put photos of it. The photos are going to be live on your site by the time this episode airs, but we'll have photos in the show notes. It's going to transform like any of your spaces that you have that you want to put plants that you can't. If you want that bookshelf filled with plants, you put a Grove in it. If you want the like kitchen countertop with some herbs, slap a Grow Bar in that. So tell us how can we get one?
It sure will transform your space. So the Grove is being launched for pre-orders August 1st. Of this year. We have a limited amount. Our first wave is a limited amount of product. So we're going to launch it to VIP members only. So the people that have spent a certain amount on our products, they have first dibs. But the August 1st will be the open to the public for pre-order. And we will start shipping the first batch that in the month of August. So you'll pre-order, you might have to wait a week or two, but you will get it in the month of August. Yeah, we're excited.
This is perfect too, because this is August is right as, you know, summer's winding down, people are bringing their plants inside, you need to make some more real estate as the equinox has passed. So exciting. So get on the wait list. We'll make sure that we put, or not the wait list, but the pre-order. We'll put all the information for how to pre-order in the show notes. Can people use their Soltech code for the new, or is there no discounts for the original launch?
You should be able to use a your discount code, your affiliate code, or your discount code in the pre-launch. So yes.
Okay. Bloom15, I think, is what it is. We'll make sure that's in the show notes too. You guys are the best. Congratulations on all your success. It's been so fun to be along for the ride with you guys. It's such a moving story. I want to see you guys on Shark Tank.
Shark Tank. I've auditioned for Shark Tank.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They didn't accept me.
Not for Soltech.
Yeah. I'm not an on TV type of guy, I guess.
Oh, come on. I'll go do the pitch for you if you guys want. But okay. Well, where can we find you guys? Soltech.com. Final words.
Yeah. Find us. Soltech.com is our website. You can find our socials in the footer of our website on Instagram at Soltech. Pinterest. Pinterest is a big channel for us because we can show off our customer photos, our setups very well. It's very visual on Pinterest. So we have a lot of curated content on there. You can find us on TikTok. We do some funny videos there and stay up to date with the youth. And
the youths. Oh my God. They're all on TikTok.
Yeah. Just find us on our website, soltech.com. And yeah.
Cool. Well, this was so fun. Thank you so much for giving us a behind the scenes look.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us, Maria. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you guys.
Thank you so much, Chris, Mike, and Paul, for joining us. This conversation was so fun. It did run long, guys. I'm sorry. I keep telling myself that I'm going to keep these episodes under 60 minutes, and then I keep publishing 75-minute episodes for you. I'm sorry. It's just that I love talking to people, and everybody's so fascinating. And I really feel like they touched upon so many different really interesting things that I really wanted fellow entrepreneurs to hear. And it was just a fun conversation. I love these guys. So the links to the waitlist are in the show notes. Get on the waitlist. Like I said, that grow bar is sexy. I'm so excited to have it in my home. And also, if you just want to use our coupon code to get a discount on any of the grow lights that we talked about today, they are a sponsor of the podcast. They're an annual partner with us. They constantly have a code with us. It's Bloom15, Bloom15. That's going to get you 15% off any of their grow lights. Let me know if you like these plantrepreneurship episodes. I have ideas of other people I want to talk to and dig into the nitty-gritty of how they built their plant brands. And I hope the show illuminated things for you. I hope you're inspired. And until next time, my sweet plant friends, keep blooming and keep growing joy. Plant friend, thank you so much for tuning in today. If you like what you heard, make sure that you're subscribed to the show so you don't miss an episode. We have incredible episodes lined up in 2023, and I don't want you to miss one topic. And while you're subscribing, would you mind clicking over to the review section and leaving us a review? Reviews are tremendously helpful for the growth of the podcast, so I thank you in advance for helping this podcast reach as many planty earbuds as possible across the globe. If you're looking for more opportunities to grow as a plant parent with Growing Joy content, we've got a ton of free options for you. First, there's the Plant Parent Personality Test. It's so fun. It takes literally 3 minutes to complete. You take the test, you get your plant parent personality profile and a curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are right up your alley, tailored just for you, inspired by your results. The link is in the show notes. Make sure to let me know what your personality is after you take the test. If you're looking to uplevel your plant parent game, check out my website. We've got a bunch of free guides that you can download on topics like understanding natural light, which is actually a 3-day worksheet, and 9 ways to green up your office if you need to bring a little bit of planty joy into your work life. And finally, I want to invite you to join the plantiest and kindest corner of the internet, my online garden society. It's both a web platform and an iOS and Android app. It allows our listeners to get together in an algorithm and troll-free online space to swap plant care tips, humble brag about plant wins, and get support when you have plant fails. We have monthly live planty show and tells on Zoom, which are so fun, and even have a living library of planty book recommendations sourced from our community.
You can go to jointhegardensociety.com to grab your membership. And for anything else, plant friend, I am here for you. Feel free to drop me a line whether you have an idea for an episode, an event, or maybe you're even a planty business interested in sponsoring the show. And of course, following me on Instagram and TikTok for daily planty silliness, musings, and tips is always recommended. You can find me across socials at Growing Joy with Maria. Thank you again so much for listening. It is truly my honor and life's delight to help you keep blooming and keep growing joy.
Plant care is self-care on Growing Joy, the podcast.
Make new plant friends, propagate knowledge, and grow some freaking joy. That's the motto of the Growing Joy Garden Society app and platform, otherwise known as the plantiest and kindest corner of the internet. If you've been an OG listener or a longtime listener, you might also know this app and platform as the Bloom and Grow Garden Party, but with the rebrand, we've rebranded it to the Growing Joy Garden Society. No trolls allowed, kind plant friends only. And if you haven't heard about the society yet, Plant Friend, you got to join. It's my online community that you can access via iOS or Android app or on your computer that I built to connect our international community of plant friends so we can all nerd out together about plants and celebrate our passion for our beloved plant babies. We have members literally all over the world. I'm so in love with this community of sweet plant friends. I can't say enough amazing things about them. But also, there's a lot of really cool features about the app you might be interested in. There's dedicated hashtags to all sorts of different subsects of planty passions like houseplants, gardening, plant-inspired DIY projects, growing joy, plants and pets, and so many more. There's a plantrepreneur group, so if you're a planty entrepreneur and you want to connect with other planty entrepreneurs, you can join that group to connect and network. There's a plant swap section. Plus, the entire app, and this is my favorite part, is entirely searchable. So say you want to learn more about Hoya, you type the word Hoya into the search bar, and literally every post ever created about Hoya will pop up so you can click in, see what other people have been posting about Hoya and learn on your own and crowdsource hair information. It's so cool. But last but not least, it's an amazing way to support the show. Your monthly membership not only goes to sustaining the platform, but it also supports my team of editors, writers, and a community manager that help the world of Bloom and Grow keep growing. So come join us. All you got to do is go to jointhegardensociety.com and sign up for the community plan. Once again, you go to jointhegardensociety.com and click the community plan. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because Plant Friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible, so I made this cutie little Plant Parent Personality Quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about five key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.